Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Well, good morning, everybody. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. I'm back. I've been, I don't know if the guys in the studio here know this, but I've been gone for over a week, and I'm back live in studio. With me is Chad Thomas, not Chad Lewis. He was a tight end. Chad is not big enough to be a tight end. Sorry, Chad.
That's okay.
Yeah, but welcome to the show.
Chad's got good hands, though.
Yeah, does he? Yeah. Throw a water bottle and he'll catch it. Dave Cordero is here as well. And Dave and I have something rather conspicuous in common. We were both sports editor at the, what was the Daily Spectrum back then. I don't even know what it's called anymore, if anybody even works there anymore. But
good question. I don't know. It's still called the Spectrum. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's going on, though?
I was sports editor in mid-90s. Mm-hmm. You were probably, what, early 2000s?
It was late aughts into the early teens, 10s-ish.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And between us, there were a couple of, Patrick Obley was a guy for a while. Dean Rock was the sports editor for a while. I don't know if you knew Dean. To help me out, I can't remember.
Well, Bob Hudson was my predecessor.
Hudson. Right, yeah. Bob Hudson.
I know Steve Kiggins was in there before me, and so yeah, there's a few.
That was back in a time when you covered local sports heavy and
right.
In the local newspaper. I mean, that was our bread and butter, right? That's
it
what
was.
We did.
Totally,
and,
yeah.
You and I got to go to many, many, many ball games as a sports writer. And,
lots. More than I can count.
Yeah, were any of those stick out in your mind now, all these years later?
You know, I would say probably the state tournaments stick out, and the ones that actually happened here.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
There was a state championship basketball game. It was back in 2012, and it was Desert Hills and Hurricane. Well, and it was at Burns Arena.
Oh, was that? Do you remember any of the big names in that game?
Tyler Ott for Desert Hills.
Okay, yeah.
There was the Hurricane had a couple Twin Towers. They had Colton Marshall, and they had, I can't remember the other guy that was really good. He was like about 6'8". Colton was about 6'7". And Brandon Simister was the guard on Desert Hills.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Really, really good. It was a great matchup and electric atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one. Now, I've been lucky enough. I got to parlay my sports editor job into a sports broadcaster job. Mm-hmm. And so I've done many. I've done literally, I think I did the count it up, it was over 8,000 high school and college games on the air over the years. But one of them that sticks out was the Pineview Dixie State Championship at Burns Arena.
Yeah.
Was with Coach Malesa and Coach Robinson.
Yeah.
2007. Yeah. And Coach Malesa's son was on the team, Jace.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually won. And I think Kaysen Smith, Kelly Smith, who former BYU star, his
right.
son was on the Dixie team. And it went, and poor, I just remember interviewing Steve Malesa, the coach of Pineview, after the game. It was his first year.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Robinson had been coaching Dixie forever.
Yeah.
And Coach Malesa was almost apologizing for winning. He's like, I feel bad. It's my first year and we won. And we,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and Coach Robinson retired not long after that. But
right.
Great teams. A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So yeah, good times.
Chad, how long have you been in town?
Well, let's see. It's been about a year and a half now.
Oh, you're a new guy. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Where do you come from then, Chad?
Most recently, North Carolina. That's where I was.
Okay.
I grew up kind of like kindergarten through sophomore year of high school, and then had a few. I went back there for graduate school and also for work.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, what, just the job is what brought you here, or?
Yeah.
Well, how did you end up in St. George?
Well, my parents live in Cedar City, and I went to school. My undergrad went to Southern Utah University, and while we were, you know, most recently back in North Carolina.
Wait, now, how did you end up at SUU from the East Coast?
That's a great question. You know, I'm still trying to figure that one out. But while I was serving a church mission, my parents moved out to Cedar City, so I came.
They moved while you were gone?
They moved while I was gone, and you know, I had to, I came to Zion, you know, and tried to figure out what this world of Utah was. Not really familiar with this area, yeah. But have really grown to love it. And so when we were about 2 years ago, looking for opportunities to get closer to family. My wife is from northern Utah, and my parents live in southern Utah. We were looking at places where we wanted to live, and we were like, okay, we want to be close to Utah, but we really despise the snow. Hate snow. I hate shoveling.
We do too.
Exactly.
Dave's from San Diego. Yeah. Snow is not in his vocabulary.
That's why I live here.
Yeah, like Bing Crosby has everything wrong about snow. It's not fun. You don't want to wash your hair with snow. Like no, it's no. False. Yeah. Because in North Carolina, when there's snow or even the chance of snow, school shuts down.
Everything's canceled.
Everything's canceled. Here, I'll never forget, I mean, I'm a grown man, I guess maybe not so much a grown man, but recently grown man. You know,
maximum height, right?
I'm about 20, 21, 22, and I just got off my mission. I'm at home with my parents because I'm, you know, trying to save money on rent. And I wake up, and I'm going to school. I wake up, and I see there's about 6-7 inches of snow. So I go back downstairs and go to sleep. Well, I'm a grown man, right? But my mom runs down the stairs, and she's like, Chad, you got to get to class. And I'm like, Mom, you're crazy. There's snow out there. And she's like, no, they don't cancel class here. And so, you know, it's I had to figure out how to drive my little, you know, Nissan 200SX in the snow. And it,
first time ever. Huh?
First time ever. Wow. And baptism by fire or by snow. So.
Yeah. By snow, yeah. You know, I lived in Logan for a time directly from San Diego, ooh, and I had a 95 Corolla. Ooh. So I know all about that and have to kind of rock it to get it going. And
Yeah, my family moved to Utah from Texas when I was a teenager, and that was quite an adjustment because I'd never seen snow in person before. Did it ever snow in San Diego the whole time you lived there?
Not really. I mean, there would be frost on the ground, but I never saw flakes coming from the sky. Now, when I was a kid, we go to the Laguna Mountains and kind of go play in the snow, and mm-hmm. You know, I remember having to help my dad with the chains and, you know, making sure that they stayed lined up as he rolled into them. And so I love snow because you know, I didn't have to shovel it. We would go up and we'd play, throw snowballs at each other, and then come home. So it's a game changer when you got a shovel and drive in it.
There was a road trip I went on with the Dixie College basketball team back then. This was, you know, 20 years ago, but they were playing a game in Denver the next day, and so we had to go over the Rocky Mountains. And mm-hmm. Of course, our little mini bus we were on, we hit the Rocky Mountains, and there was a sign that said all vehicles must chain up. Mm-hmm. And so we pulled over in the chain up area, and the coach got up and said, anybody know how to put chains on a car? And nobody on the entire bus had ever put chains on a vehicle, not once. And so we ended up using like some medical tape. It was actually quite funny. It was actually quite funny.
I never knew what that sign meant. You know, all cars must chain up. I was like, is that like where you hook each car together and that we
can choo-choo train?
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if I said this, but Chad is the Economic Development Director for St. George City.
Correct.
And when you consider what's happening in St. George City, that's turning into a pretty darn big job, isn't it?
It is, and it's really, I think, I know David's right here next to me, but I really think I have the best job ever. And
better than Dave's, huh?
Better than Dave. I mean, Dave's a close second, you know. If I
had a pretty good job.
We work together. But the opportunity to really, you know, my job is to promote Southern Utah's number one economy, which is St. George City or City of St. George. And it's every day. I mean, it's really not a hard thing to sell. The hardest part is just getting people to really see what we have here to offer. A lot of people know us for our natural amenities, but they don't really understand all the business opportunities. And so really that's my job, is to show them that while we do have tons of places to recreate and to be outside, there is an entire other business story that people don't realize. And that's my job, to go out there and to kind of promote that to the community.
When I came to St. George, the number one business, the number one, I'm trying to think of the word. Anyway, it was agriculture.
Correct.
With tourism is like a 1B, you know, is on the side. But St. George is transformed. Of course, tourism is still really big. Agriculture, not so much. And we're starting to get a little tech, the techie here in St. George. Will you talk a little bit about, for a minute, Chad, about this transition of what St. George was, is, and is going to be?
Right. I mean, you're completely right. In the past, it was primarily agriculture, and it turned into more of the tourism industry. And then with this massive amount of growth right now, our construction industry is our largest employment sector. And when you look at economic development from a 30,000-foot view, we're really trying to create a sustainable city where you have all these employment centers are really important. But we understand at the city that our number one export is our talent or our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure that we have job opportunities for our children. And what you really see is you really want that employment choice. And so what we're trying to do is create employment opportunities here. So we have a few projects that we're working on. Most people understand, Tech Ridge. That was kind of the more, sexier project. It's, tech. It's, we're trying to create product development opportunities up there, up on the old airport site. But we also have projects that we've been working on for a long time, like Fort Pierce Industrial Park, which has been the bread and butter of economic development for Washington County. And by creating these employment opportunities, it allows our children to really look at, seeing, hey, I can live here, I can work here, and I can have a future here. And that's really important when people start, planning for their future.
It's funny you talk about kids, and the three of us are actually different developmental state. My kid, my youngest, is 21. Dave's oldest is what, 18?
17.
Yeah. And then you, I'm assuming, have little kids?
Yes, I have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Well, not that little, but little-ish.
Little-ish.
That's so little. We're at the point, where we're looking at, okay, can our kids stay close to home? For me, the answer has been pretty much no. I had my second oldest son and moved to Northern Utah. Why? Because he can make $20,000 to $30,000 more a year doing what he does in Northern Utah than he can here. I have another son who chose to live up, but he actually wanted to live by his brother, which I think is admirable.
Right.
My third son moved up north and lived up there for a long time because he had made more money. He changed careers, though, and now lives in Southern Utah. I'm happy he's taking advantage of our growth. He's selling homes right now.
Yeah.
And then I have my two daughters, and they're both in college, so that's extenuating factors right now. But I definitely want my kids to live close to home. It's tough having, I have five grandchildren. They all live 300 miles north,
Right. And I think to your point, so when your children are looking at employment opportunities, why is potentially a Northern Utah more attractive than Southern Utah? It's not just the amount of money that your child can make, that delta. That is important,
mm-hmm.
but when you're trying to make an employment decision, you look at it from a holistic point of view, and you say, okay, if this, I'm going to be here, and what's the job, what's the trajectory of this job?
Mm.
And I even felt this moving to Southern Utah, coming from North Carolina. St. George is an amazing city, and it's really a great place to work for. But if this job doesn't work out, where else do I go? So I, move my family here, and the city of St. George is really the largest government organization here in Washington County.
Mm-hmm.
Where else would I go work for? Maybe, there's Washington City, there's Hurricane, and there's Cedar City, and maybe the counties. But there's really not that density of job opportunities for me as a government worker.
Right.
And so, if I'm a tech worker, there's only a few employers here in this county right now. If I go to Northern Utah, there's a bunch, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where your children are looking at these opportunities, and they're saying, okay, if this doesn't work out or I need to make a job move eventually, I can stay in the same house, it's the same area, but I can move around. And that mobility is extremely important, and that's what we're trying to create here in this community, is really creating job opportunities. It's not – and a lot of times people think, well, we already checked the box here. We already have a company up on Tech Ridge. We need companies, not just a company.
Good point.
And that one company needs that density around them to be successful. Why was Silicon Slopes successful? It's not just because they had one company. They had multiple companies, or Silicon Valley. So that's one of the things that I think a lot of people don't really, you know, understand completely, is that that density is really important when you're looking at job opportunities.
You don't even really think about that. But now that you bring it up, it's like, yeah, because I'm using my one son as an example, the one that specifically moved to Northern Utah for the money. Well, not only for the money, but like you said, for choices. And the fact that there are 4, 5, 6, 10 companies he could work for also drives the wages up. So he has choices, and as part of the choices, there's competitiveness, and as part of the competitiveness, there's more money. Mm-hmm. And so, and he could actually switch to one of the other companies and make probably just as much as he makes now, whereas if he tried to work for someone like that down here, he couldn't do it. There just aren't choices yet. Enough choices.
Right. And I think of it a lot like the hub and spoke model. We mm-hmm. already have the hub. People yeah. want to live here. We have to build out those spokes to complete the wheel. Hmm. So that way people have choice. And it's just, St. George is an amazing place to be. And we're you know, Dave and I are really excited to be here because it's just it's a great place to work.
I told Michelle Randall, if we could get rid of that Cordero guy, I'd go take his job. But she's like, no, we like Dave. We'll keep him a while.
No, we like Dave.
But I figured you took my job as sports editor, so maybe someday down
there. There's a few guys in between. You know.
Yeah. Well, plus I'm getting to that age where it may not be that long that I am actually still employed. I took a week off, and I found out that retirement wouldn't be so bad. You know, it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know? Went up to visit the grandkids and hung out and did kind of nothing and stuff.
Yeah.
It was nice. So. We're talking with Dave Cordero, who's a communications specialist or director for St. George City, and Chad Thomas, who is the economic development director. And I know that some folks might have questions. You can always text me at 467-5842, or you can call into the show at 673-5890. So that's a 435 area code, and then to call 673-5890 and to text 467-5842. Chad, can you talk about some of the projects, some of the big stuff? I mean, we talked about jobs and stuff, but let's talk about some of the actual things that are happening right now in St. George City. What are the biggest ones?
I think one of the more active projects that you can go see right now is just off Bluff Street, the old Kmart Shopping Center, St. George Place. You can see the signs, R&O Construction's out there just, you know, kicking dirt. Put some new facades, the shell for that facade right now. The two major announcements over there are REI and Hobby Lobby. We're looking at a potential completion around the beginning of Q4, end of Q3, beginning of Q4 this year, 2025.
So September, October, November, somewhere in there.
Right, yeah. This is a redevelopment project, so the buildings are already there. So you look at that. There are also some potential really cool out parcels that we're looking at. Nothing to announce yet. A lot of people always, you know, when they reach out to me and they call me and they're like, "Hey, Chad, can you give me the
inside scoop? Man.
Give me the smoke," you know. And what's really difficult about my job is I work a lot with the private market, the private brokers, and the developers, and we have this trust and. The previous show was talking about real estate. Real estate, there's a lot of stuff that you talk and you want to keep all that confidential because there's a million pieces that could blow up a deal. Mm-hmm. So part of my job is to really help development out. And so if the company or the developer or the broker's not ready to announce it yet, I have to respect that. So a lot of the things, you know, I can't really talk about.
Hmm. There's a real thing. You know, you don't want to burn trust. I mean, if you came on the radio and said, "Well, we got Sam's Club and Trader Joe's coming in next week or next month or next year," there would be a lot of people that would be excited about it. But a lot of other people would say, "Well, I'm not telling Chad anything." Ever
exactly. I may get a raise from the mayor, though, if that happens.
yeah, you got to watch out for yourself.
I know, so that's one of the cool projects you can go see. Also, if you ever want to know what's going on in the city, David and his team is doing a great job. We just updated our website. If you mm-hmm. haven't been to our new website, check it out. It has a beautiful layout. It's really easy to navigate. But when you go on, you can go to departments and then you click on departments, go to economic development. We have a map where if there is an active building permit, we have a GIS map.
And I'm looking at it right now.
I know. Yes. This is amazing. You know, it's in real time here. that has plans for either residential or commercial projects that are happening in our community, you can know exactly what's going on. So if there is an announcement or there's something that's truly active, it's on that site. So you don't have to text me or call me. We try to make it as easy as possible because a lot of people want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Another really good thing, if you ever want to know what's going on, and what we can talk about additional projects, is David and his team do a great job on social media. If you're not following us on social media, please do. We have a great team, and we're adding additional skill sets. If you haven't seen the difference, we have one of our employees, Corey Frost, does a fantastic job. We have a new drone. We can go and take our own photos and new videos. Nice. And our most recent one did extremely well on social media. We did a flyover for the lights at Town Square.
Right, yeah, holiday lights. This week, they're still going. Even though we're in January 2nd, they'll be up until the 6th. So go check it out.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
But with that skill set, we're able to give the average resident a different perspective of what these developments are looking like. And so Corey does a great job getting up in the air showing. So if you want showing all the developments. So if you haven't follow us on Instagram or Facebook, yep, or LinkedIn, you'll see a lot of great content.
And YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff. And the website, sgcityutah.gov. Again, sgcityutah.gov. is a great starting off point, as Chad mentioned. Of course, social media as well.
I love it, by the way, and I think you guys do a good job of keeping things updated. And I feel like a lot of people, like, yeah, but can't we get a little inside scoop on the stuff you can't? That's not on the map yet.
Give me all that smoke, Chad.
You're talking about on South Bluff there, the Kmart Shopping Center, which is what Dave and I have known it for 20 years. Yeah. You know, that's what it is. Yeah. You know, you had the Restore there for a while, and you had Christensen. I mean,
Albertsons was there.
Yeah, Albertsons used to be there. Wow, I forgot about that. Yeah. and so I think a lot of people are like, what is happening there? And will it be, to me, it was an important part of the city for a while to have Albertsons and Kmart there. I mean, those were frequent, obviously not frequent enough, or they'd still be in business, right? But those were places we went to a lot, Dave. I mean, they were a part of St. George City. So to have it be something else now is interesting for those of us who have been in town a long time. Do you feel like, I know I have some friends who are, my sister in particular, very excited about Hobby Lobby. Do you feel like that the current incoming tenants will create the vibrancy that's needed in South Bluff area?
Oh, for sure. The tenants that are locating there, they don't make mistakes. You have Hobby Lobby, REI.
These are the big guys.
A lot of these companies, they do their due diligence, and that's one of the things that when you're looking at potential tenants for your community, people just don't say, oh, I want to come to City of St. George. They're looking at data. They're looking at demographics.
They got to make money.
And they're looking at it from a 10, 15-year projection. And this is something really important that I think people, when they're, as you're talking about change, and it's really hard, I think, for a lot of residents to see their community change. We're seeing all this growth, and it's like, man, and when I talk with people, it's really interesting. We hear this dichotomy, which is, I don't want my community to change, but Chad, can you bring this extra tenant? I mean, think about that. They're hey, I want something more, but please don't change my community. And that's just a nice little paradox right there. But when someone like REI or Hobby Lobby is looking at investing in our community, they're not just looking at it from today's perspective. They're looking at it from a 10, 15-year projection.
That's important.
It's important. And so those numbers matter. And so when we say that we're one of the fastest growing communities that has, this population projection, this growth, that matters to them because these companies can locate anywhere in America and they're choosing to invest their dollars in our community. And so that growth potential really matters to them because they're saying, okay, if I spend $10 million in your community, what community has the best ROI? And so these companies are saying, we feel confident that St. George has that, has the ability to absorb that.
So I've heard people say, and maybe you can confirm or deny this, they say, well, we have, I remember doing a story about Trader Joe. We have specific population numbers that have to be met before we'll even think about opening a store. And I've heard people say, yeah, but St. George is different because, yes, this is our population base, but if you look at any weekend, especially in the wintertime when people are coming here to get out of the snow we were talking about earlier, that our population swells. It doubles or maybe even triples in size. So is that a valid argument when talking to someone like Trader Joe's or Sam's Club or whatever?
Yeah, it's a great argument. It's more of a both and on either or. One, yes, our economy is really unique. We're the largest population center in Washington County. We can swell. I mean, our population is about 110, 115,000. That's about the estimate right now. On a good weekend, you know, we could be up to 150, almost 200,000, just depending on, you know, what's going on. I mean, we have black.
And that's just the city, too.
That's just the city, right? Yeah. And then the county, I mean, we look at a service area about 200, 250,000. If you look at the entire southern Utah population base, which is great. And you can communicate that to your, you know, these tenants. So let's say we want to go talk with Trader Joe's. First of all, you just don't pick up the phone and call Trader Joe's. Yeah. There is no like,
hey, Joe.
There is no hotline. So a lot of people think of like, hey, Chad, just call Trader Joe's. Tell them how good we are. And it's like, that's not how it works, but I appreciate the advice. So you do that. I think what's kind of back to what we were talking about with jobs, when you look at southern Utah, we're extremely rural. I mean, you have St. George. You have a few cities next to us. And then it really just drops off. There is no one around us, which is one of the reasons why people come here, because it has that natural amenity, that landscape. But, you know, the difference between us and a location in Utah or Salt Lake County is completely different. And so if Trader Joe's is trying to make an investment, where are they going to go? It's where the people are.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, yes, we're unique, but that coupled with another thing which is really interesting in the St. George market is it's extremely expensive to do construction here. Our land's difficult.
Yes, it is. Yes.
We have extremely we're not that much cheaper than Salt Lake when you look at lease rates, which is insane. When you look at Salt Lake and St. George, our lease rates are not that much different. And if you want to go specific to a Trader Joe's, they typically like to go in second generation space or existing space.
So they'll buy an already built building.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a vacancy rate our retail vacancy rate right now in St. George is less than 3%.
Which is basically full.
Which is, yeah, we're basically at capacity.
Yeah.
So you tell me, even if we had a space, where'd they go? It's extremely difficult for someone who is looking at getting into our market to be like, okay, how do I get in? How do I enter into it?
Yeah, yeah. All right, I got to get a weather break in. We're talking with Chad Thomas and Dave Cordero, City of St. George, on Mayor Thursday. Mayor's not here, but we got some pretty good replacements. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show. I'm here with Chad Thomas, Economic Development Director of St. George City, and Dave Cordero, who is the Communications Director for St. George City. Am I getting that right? Is that right?
You're Communications and Marketing Director.
And
that's
marketing,
right.
Okay. Yeah. So you do a little marketing, too.
A little bit, yeah.
But is that hard for a guy that majored in journalism?
No, it's a natural shift for me. You know, when you're in journalism, you're trying to get news out. You're trying to inform people, and that's basically what you're trying to do in my field now.
When Chad was talking about not wanting to burn sources, basically say things that they said in confidence to him, it reminded me of my sports writing days, because we had the same thing. How many, I don't know about you, David, how many times has a coach said, now this is off the record, and then he would tell you something really good? I just got to sit on this, man. I want to. Oh.
Absolutely. It happened all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it was good, though, because it helped you, you know, look in other, you know, directions and have an idea of the general perspective and context of things.
The one I hated was when a coach would tell you something really good, and then after he told you, he's like, oh, and this was off the record. And you're like, no!
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I know. That was always tough because, like, according to, you know, the journalism ethics, hey, if you don't say it beforehand, you could use it. But there's always a cost, right?
Because if you used it,
you might get the short-term boost and people talking about the story, more clicks or whatever. But at what cost? You may be frozen out by this coach. He may not give you anything interesting in the future. And so,
I remember one time I was talking with a coach before a game, getting ready for a radio broadcast, and he said, "You know, I have a problem with something you said about my son." And I, on the last broadcast, and I said, "What did I say?" And he said, "Well, you said this and this and this, and everybody knows this." And I didn't know what he was talking about. I had no idea. I knew what I had said, but I had no idea that there was this information about it. So I don't want to get too specific
because extenuating circumstances.
People would know. And, he thought I knew everything about this, his son. I had no idea what was going on. I was like, sorry, coach, I didn't know. Okay, let's talk about it. First of all, someone had texted, said, timeline on the new Costco. Chad?
I mean, that's like the worst kept secret in St. George. I feel like I don't need to be here for that one.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if you go ask the employees, it's what's really funny is, you know, sometimes I'll go and I won't wear my St. George City swag or anything. I'll just act like a normal person. And I'll just start talking with people and I'll just say, "Hey, you know, what's going on?" They're like, "Hey, did you hear we're getting a new store, a new second store?" I'm like, "Yeah, tell me about that." Yeah, to answer that question, the timeline is there is some movement on the second store here in the city of St. George. What we can talk about is actually on the city council's agenda is an item tonight for the second location in the city of St. George corporate limits. So that'll be on the docket tonight.
So you can't say where or when yet?
Not yet. They've asked, you know, once again, but we are making lots of progress on that. And
where or when? That was a great Sinatra song.
Yeah.
Now,
Dave is very cultured, by the way. He knows the Sinatra. He's a big World War II buff.
That's right. If you want to, obviously our city council meetings are our public meetings. They're open. You can certainly attend if you're interested. 5 o'clock at our city hall. And you can also watch it online, sgcityutah.gov. You can tune in, and all of our city council regular meetings are broadcast.
On the YouTubes.
Yep.
On the YouTubes.
Yep.
Okay, Chad, a couple of other things. River Crossing tenant announcements. Do you have some?
Yeah.
Or can you say?
Yeah. One of the big ones over there is Kiln. K-I-L-N. It's the mass
pottery.
But it
sounds like pottery.
It comes from the term, you know, like making something. Yeah. But if you're driving on a river road, and so river crossing, if you're not familiar with that term, a lot of people don't really call developments by their actual name. They're more about, you know, roads. So that's on George Washington Boulevard and River Road in the south.
I think by Popeyes?
Yes, by
Popeyes. Okay, everybody has a river. Oh, you mean by Popeyes? Yes, by Popeyes.
That's your place of reference.
And the Maverick,
And
now Village Baker and whatever.
I know, when I first moved here, everyone's like, "Oh, that's by the Maverick." I'm like, "Which Maverick are you talking about?"
The Maverick, come on, Chad.
Okay. So over there, there's a massive building going up, and a lot of people think it's a hotel, and it's not. It's Kiln. It's an office building. It's very similar to, a lot of people know what WeWork is, but it's a boutique co-working space where people can get Class A office space, but don't have to sign a complete, you know, lease for a 100,000 square foot building. They can go in there and cost share that. One thing that Kiln does, which I'm a huge fan of Kiln, they really create the community inside of it. So they don't just offer space. So it's not just like a Regis where you come in and sign up for the office spaces. They'll come in, they program the space, they have an auditorium, sometimes they'll bring in food. They really try to get all these entrepreneurs integrating and having those, what I like to call, incidental collisions. So Kiln's over there. Village Baker is already open. A lot of people are really excited about that.
My sister is a huge fan. In fact, she's already said, "It's not big enough. We need another one or a bigger one or something."
McDonald's, Cypress Credit Union. Duck Donuts is looking which, you know, I'm from North Carolina, and that's where their OG location is you know, Duck Island or Duck, North Carolina. So that's pretty cool.
We don't. He's from San Diego. I'm from Texas. So yeah. Sorry, we don't know.
And then one announcement that people get really excited about that they haven't heard about already, but it's Sprouts, the grocery store. Right. Sprouts is going over there. So if you look, they're already moving dirt for that. And once again, they're moving pretty quickly. You're looking at a Q4, Q1 delivery in 2026.
Wow. All right. It's happening. Okay, real quick. Smith's down in Sun River is open. Yeah.
100%. It better be, because I was there yesterday shopping with my kids.
Okay. I have not been down there yet. I apologize. But
no, yes, it's open.
And they have, I think the big deal was made that you can drive your electric cart from Sun River.
Yes, it is.
Your golf cart?
It is the only Smith's location that has golf cart parking. So we were the first. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's huge, because the residents down there were really wanting a grocery store closer to them. So many years, they had to drive all the way in the town. And so having that there has been well received.
Will you talk, Chad, for just a minute? I got to get another break in, and I wanted to ask Dave a couple of questions about a couple of things too. But about that exit too, about Desert Color and Sun River and all that stuff down there, is that the future of St. George as far as development? It feels like the answer is yes. Is that?
Yeah, a lot of the new growth is going to happen at Exit 2. I mean, there's a lot of vacant land and tons of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at an interstate, a highway system, an airport, you have Desert Color, which what you're seeing right now is only phase one.
Oh, it's going to get bigger.
It's going to get bigger. You have Sun River, which is an existing residential neighborhood. And then it's our first really exit into St. George. A lot of the new growth is going to happen there. But there's still going to be growth here in downtown. We have a few projects that the city's working on. We have a redevelopment project on 100 West, just west of Ancestor Square. The redevelopment of our old airport site, Tech Ridge, and also Fort Pierce Industrial Park. So what's really fun about my job, Andy, is that, I mean, it's really hard to keep up with all the activities going on.
That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm going to take a commercial break, but Dave, I wanted to ask you and Chad about the what did you call it? Satisfaction survey? Ooh, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then we'll ask about some other stuff too. But right now, let's get a commercial break in. More on the Andy Griffin Show, Dave and Chad, after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. We're actually down to 6 or 7 minutes left, so there were some burning questions I wanted to ask Dave Cordero. Dave is a communication director with the city, and Chad, too. But what is a satisfaction survey? And, my first thought was, oh, that's kind of cool. My second thought was, well, shouldn't they already know this stuff? Aren't you guys magic and you know what we're talking about?
Well, yeah, you would think that. But, I'm going to let Chad kind of talk about this. This is kind of, it was Chad's idea. Really spearheading
Chad,
this. And, of course, I'll obviously have a role in helping promote this and communicate this with folks. But I think Chad is the one best suited to answer that question.
Yeah, a few months ago, we purchased a system called Qualtrics, which is almost the nation standard when it comes to survey data. And
isn't that the name we heard with the changing of the school's name too? Wasn't Qualtrics involved in that? The survey with the name change? I'm just saying that name sounds familiar.
I don't think so. I think it's a different one.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a different one. Yeah.
But so really what we want to do is we want to know how we're doing, really, and we want to make sure that we're providing the highest level of service possible. We really pride ourselves at the city of providing excellent service, and we actually did a little study last year during our budget cycle that showed that bang for your buck, you get the best value for your tax dollar here in the city of St. George out of any city, the top 20 cities in Utah. We really pride ourselves on that. We want to make sure that people are satisfied with that service. And so we want to make sure that anytime we interact with a resident or a customer, depending on, it's a customer if it's at the golf course because it may not be a resident, or, an actual resident when they're coming in and filling out their utility information or paying their utility bill, we want to make sure that we're providing the highest level of service possible, because we really understand that sometimes we're their only option. Like, we do have the monopoly on on things, and so we want to make sure that they're getting the best value out of that.
Is it set up in such a way where you can get some of the more difficult answers that maybe you don't want to hear but need to hear?
Yeah, we want to know. We want to know what we're doing and how we're doing it. So if we're not doing something well, we want to hear about it. And so this satisfaction survey is It'll be on our website. It'll be at our city hall where you can go on, scan a QR code, tell us how we're doing. It's a traditional NPS or Net Promoter Score, you know, 1 to 10, tell us what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be which department did you interact with. Fill out some, you know, if you want to give us all the tea, you can give us as much information if you want. If not, you can just say, hey, you guys did a great job. But we also want to know what we're doing well. I think oftentimes in government, and this is something that we struggle with, is a lot of times people, when something is working well, it's crickets. And then when something's bad, it's, oh, like, my gosh.
Like being an offensive lineman or a long snapper,
or
right?
Referee.
Right. We only get feedback when something's negative sometimes.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we're also not just switching back and forth, just trying to put out fires, but also understanding what we're doing well, because we know we do a lot of things well. When people come into our community, they give us a bunch of feedback of saying, oh, we love it, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but sometimes the only feedback we get is negative. And so we want to make sure that we're balancing both that to truly understand how we can provide the great services, because we really value people's tax dollars, and we want to make sure we're spending those in the most appropriate way possible.
And I wanted to ask Dave about that too, because one thing I've found is really interesting, Dave, is you get there are some, well, I'm going to say minorities that are really loud out there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance hearing from those people over and over and over again the negatives that we used to call them, negativism, something like, anyway. how do you balance with that? Because like Chad said, if it's going good, most of the people aren't going to say anything at all. It's,
right.
You know, it's good. Let's be quiet.
Well, I think we need to continue to promote the good, right? You know, if you look at our social media, you know, we'll talk about, like we mentioned earlier, the holiday lights that are going on, the progress on construction. You know, we finished 3000 East. That was a huge project. It was, you know, 3 years, in the making, and, it's great now. I mean, it was rough while it was going on. You know, you had a lot of, you know, you had a lot of slowdowns and, you know, detours, but, things like that is in our St. George Races, RACES, Races Division. They put on a lot of awesome races. You know, we have our art festival, which is, you know, setting records every year, the St. George Marathon. So we have all these different things that people love and want to be here for. And another way that we've already kind of received this data through an election. It was the GEO bond that passed, mm-hmm. Not this past November, but the one before. It passed with flying colors, 63%. So what does that tell us as a government? Is that people put a priority on those trails, parks, and recreation facilities and resources. And so that's really kind of a guiding force for us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're short on time. Couple of things coming up. You've got the Virgin River Half on January the 18th, Heritage Day on January the 25th, which is, that's new, right? Last year was the first one?
Well, the Heritage Day, that's our birthday celebration. We have the root beer floats and everything.
Okay, cool. And then the Soup and Bowl, February 7th. Also coming up, Dave, I want to know, are you going to climb the 333 steps on the backside of Tech Ridge?
Well, yes.
You're going to do it?
Well,
I'm not.
He may walk it.
Maybe if they have hand railings, I might.
Well, maybe I might pitch a tent halfway up and bed down for the night. But, I do. That's on my list. Is you know, they're still completing the handrails right now, but... Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to be able to go from the bottom to the top with minimal crampage and
you and I stuff. Climbing to the press box is hard enough. Those are like 60 steps to the press box. This is
those pre-elevator days Hanson, was known as Hanson Stadium.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm challenging Brad Buchanan right now. A match.
At a time, one text came in. Where is the water going to come from? We don't have time to answer that completely, but. That's certainly, I guess, something that you got to keep in mind as you plan things out, Chad, huh?
There's an article on sgcityutah.gov right now under the news section that shows our 20-year plan.
All right, 20-year plan. Thanks, guys. You did a great job today. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
We'll be back tomorrow with Open Lines and Mellow.